everybody. This is Hockey Talkie. I am Travis. I got Jesse here beside me. Hockey is on again.
Yeah.
We're five games in or six?
Yeah, somewhere around that.
Under 10 games in.
Five average, I think, for each team. Under 10 for sure, yeah.
We thought it would be a good time to talk to you guys about some players that are rising, falling, you know, what's going on. Do you jump off a cliff for this player,
mm-hmm.
or do you ride him out kind of thing? So in this podcast, we got the news. Some injuries are already happening in the league, which sucks. I hope you didn't draft these guys, but if you did, we're hopefully going to name some players that'll help you round out your team. Schedules, and then, like I said, our risers and fallers, and then we've got our kudos of the week.
Yeah, should be...
Are you ready for this, Jesse?
I'm ready. I'm excited.
We're prepped up already. It's been a little bit since we've done a podcast.
Yeah, we wanted to wait at least, I don't know, some time for the NHL season to get some games in. Didn't want to give you guys like a one-game podcast. Like, it just doesn't have anything to say. So we finished our draft on two weekends ago, the 24th, I guess.
Yep.
Three weekends ago now. Yeah, 3 weeks ago. So I imagine most of you guys are done with your drafts by now, hopefully.
I've seen a couple. A couple people have posted them on Twitter and stuff, and they're getting some interesting players.
Yeah, to check some of those out. That sounds cool.
One of the players that I noticed is going really high is Pastrnak. In most drafts, he's like really high in the top three rounds.
Yeah, he went first in ours, but we have a
couple keepers.
Previous keeper system, but I guess equivalent, he would be a top 30 player, I guess, if it was our league with the keepers, maybe something like that. Pastrnak signed that big contract, so doesn't have anything to prove anymore, but he still wants to at least show he's worth the money. So we'll have to see what happens with him. He's not setting the world on fire just yet, but he's pretty steady, so I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, he's doing okay. You guys know where to find us, at Fantasy NHL Talk on Facebook and Twitter. Lots of questions. You can, like, direct message me. What do they call it? Like, DM?
Yeah, slide into your DMs.
Yeah, you can do that, or you can just tweet us. We get back to everything that's out there. Before we start, I have a question for you, Jesse.
What is it?
Don't sound so enthused about my question.
No, I'm excited. I like questions, you know?
Okay, my question is, what team... off to a hot start, are you buying into?
Oh, man. That's tough.
So there are a bunch of teams like Vegas and Colorado and stuff that... Even, like, Columbus.
Oh, man.
Like, are you buying into any of these teams, or are you steering away?
Okay, I'll do, like, two, I guess. I'm a believer in Colorado.
Oh.
They couldn't be that bad as last year. Granted, they played two games against the Bruins, and the Bruins have looked... god awful.
Very bad.
Kind of free wins there. But Colorado looks like a better team. Varlamov's putting some decent goalie numbers up. So I don't think they'll be in the playoffs or anything exciting, but they're definitely going to be better than last year. Maybe not last in the league, which is exciting. And my main belief would be probably the Devils.
Ooh.
I thought the Devils would make the playoffs last year, and this is before they even played the kind of style they're playing this year, which is like super fun to watch. They got the second youngest roster in the NHL. Everyone's flying on that team. They're scoring 5-on-3 shorties. It's really good to watch. I think the Devils will definitely be a surprise and challenge a lot. They're totally different Devils team. They're not like the trap style anymore. It's more puck possession, get the zone, try to shoot, score. Hall looks good this year. So, I'm a believer in the Devils. If they keep it up, they could sneak into a playoff spot. I mean, Schneider's been playing pretty well. He's a fantastic goalie.
Yeah.
So it's not like they have a goaltending issue or anything like that. Defense is obviously kind of a little bit weak, but I don't know. I'm a big fan of the Devils. I think they're going to do some damage this year, and I'm excited to watch them. They're actually really, really fun games to watch.
Yeah.
Which I never thought I would say
crazy fast
about watching a Devils game.
It's weird that that the Devils built from like their goalie position out.
Yeah.
Because you just see teams like amass forwards, and they're like, we need a goalie.
Yeah.
But they just started with Schneider, so they're like set.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe the Zajac thing was a blessing in disguise. That's kind of horrible to say to Zajac, but like Zajac isn't exactly a fast, talented player, so it kind of forced the Devil's hand to play this like aggressive style because you have to move Zacha up or Henrique or all these young type of centermen now, so there's no longer that steadying veteran slow guy on the team. So I think that kind of had something to do with it. That's just me guessing, but They're pretty cool to watch. So Devils is definitely a team I'm into. I don't know. What about you?
I like Colorado.
Yeah, me too.
Not to ruin any of my spoilers for my risers and fallers, but okay. My next question for you is that if you had to pick one player on the Devils team that you would target as a trade, or someone that you're like, I've watched this guy and he looks really good on the Devils. Who would it be?
Oh man, I don't know. Hall looks really, really good. He gets lots of minutes, but he has no finish, man. It's like really
stone hands.
It's really depressing to watch. He gets tons of opportunities. that's a really good question because I don't know. Because one of my players, whatever, spoiler, I would say target Will Butcher. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah. And then I'll talk more about him later. I don't think Hall is legit enough to pay what people probably would want for him at this point. I don't know.
And the injury risk is always there with Hall.
Yeah, so. I don't think Hall is going to break 55, 60 points. So even how good the Devils are. So we'll see.
All right, let's keep moving on. The injuries for this week, it's crazy how fast injuries start.
Yeah.
It's like you're like, 6 games in and these guys are going down.
Yeah.
So Fleury, I think the Knights will really miss Fleury.
Yeah. He got concussed. I don't know anything about it. I don't know if he got hit in the head from a body or a puck. I literally have no idea. But concussions are pretty sketchy. So I don't know if Fleury has a history of concussions. I swear he had one before, maybe.
I think he's had one before. But with concussions, it's like a couple days or a couple months.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do. And the thing with Vegas is it's not like a win-now team where they're like, man, we need Fleury back. We need to crush these wins out at the end of the season. It's like, hey, we're an expansion team, and for some reason we have a bunch of wins no one expected us to have. So, I mean, like, take your time, Fleury. So I doubt they're going to be really, really concerned or worried about Fleury being missing, to be honest. So it's probably low priority over there.
Yeah. And then Subban filled the void.
Yep.
Any reason to pick him up if there's extended?
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a deep, deep goalie league, I guarantee Subban's available. And if you need those goalie wins and he's free, sure, pick him up. I mean, I doubt there's a backup to the backup in Vegas that's going to get any starts. So, Subban's fine. I'm not high on him as a goalie. I don't think he's good. But
I would probably wait this Fleury injury out to see like how long he's going to be out, and then assess from there. If you need to pick up someone on the waivers.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully your starting goalie isn't Fleury. I mean, there's a lot of other teams out there, 30 to be exact. So I would almost take 30 other goalies over. No, that's not true. There's a couple of teams. So maybe like 27 goalies I would take over Fleury at this point. So we'll see.
Well, maybe there's a goalie like Darling on your roster for a Carolina team that only has a couple of games played so far that you could pick up. Charlie Coyle, a couple of guys are actually gone for Minnesota, right? Parise is still out.
Parise is still gone. Coyle
broke his leg.
Tibia or something. Yeah, broke his leg. What was that other guy? One guy got in a fight.
Oh, yeah.
I forget. Because it's not Holla, because Holla's on the Knights. Okay, it doesn't matter what I think. Minnesota is beat up. Granlund, obviously, is the other big main one. He still has a groin issue, so he might be still a few more games.
Yeah. The interesting thing there is that means that Jason Zucker moves up.
Yeah, Zucker might be a legitimate fantasy option in the next 2 weeks, for sure.
And especially since this Coyle one could be long-term. It could be a couple months.
Yeah, broken leg Coyle is done for, I don't know, 3 months probably, 4 months. I doubt he's coming back anytime soon. So Zucker probably went mostly undrafted, I'd say, in every league. I can't see him being drafted, especially at the beginning of the year with the depth issues of Minnesota. I think Zucker would be legit. He's always floating around. He's a streaky player, so I got no problem with picking up Zucker.
Yeah, it's a good pickup for him. And Oilers lost Draisaitl.
Yeah.
They just put him on the IR.
Yeah, originally it was like he had some swelling in his eye and he was like blind out of one eye or something like that. Like he was kind of beat up. I don't know what happened, but he's IR'd now, which I think is minimum, I don't know, a few games for sure. So that's a tough one because Draisaitl is, chances are, a top 2-round pick in your league.
Yeah, you probably spent a lot if you have Draisaitl on your team.
So this is not good for anything. He was off to, obviously, a fantastic start playing on the McDavid line, which was crazy.
That shouldn't be allowed.
I know, it's
Draisaitl and McDavid, yeah, on the
same
line.
Yeah, it's too much. It's like, you know, Crosby, Malkin on the same line, but two guys that actually mesh together.
Yeah. So with Draisaitl out, Yamamoto moves up to that right wing top line.
Yeah, my only thing about this is I still think Yamamoto's getting set down after the 9 games. Like I say, it's almost 100% chance. So if you're looking at Yamamoto as a long-term replacement, I wouldn't go too crazy on him. He finally got his first point of the entire league, a secondary assist yesterday, or 2 days ago, the last Edmonton game. So I don't know how reliable he is, but he is on that top position. He's obviously a fantastically skilled kid, but I just don't see him lasting longer than 9 games unless this Draisaitl injury is totally 4 months, game over type injury.
Same thing as Fleury. You're not going to move him or get rid of him until you know how long the injury is.
Yeah, because we just found out the same thing. The Draisaitl was on IR today, so we don't really know the extent of what it is. Obviously, it said concussion symptoms, which is the same thing. It's tough, but yeah, for sure. For someone who's going to take the minutes in the next week or two, for sure. Yamamoto will. I don't know if they're going to give him power play time.
I don't see why not.
I mean, they should, but something to look at.
Let him try to score.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get at least a goal before they send him down. I mean, I feel like that's the nice thing to do. So
that's a good, dynasty pick for, next year if you're, in a full dynasty league or something.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not go for the Oilers guy? Schedules this week, there's a lot of games on Saturday, but the Ducks only play one game this whole week.
Wow.
Not even a Saturday game. It's like a Wednesday game or something.
That's good for the Ducks, actually, because I think Eves is still dead. I think Getzlaf is injured again. So they could definitely use the week to get some players back, even like Vatanen and whoever else is there.
Yeah, I hope no one is planning to play Ducks this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't put all your Ducks in one basket or whatever.
In a row.
In a row. Ducks in a row. There you go. Whatever.
All right. The teams that have... There's three teams? Yeah, three teams are playing 4 games this week. Detroit, Tampa, and Vancouver. I actually had this question asked to me on Twitter over the weekend. With Vancouver's schedule of 4 games, is there anyone that you would pull from Vancouver to play for the week? And I said Horvat. Horvat seems like their most skilled player right now.
Yeah, Horvat's definitely number one on the team. I know Granlund and Barchi are getting some power play time because the Sedin unit isn't the first unit anymore.
Yeah.
So the second unit is like them and Vanek and whatever scraps of defense they put on. I'd look at players like that. Obviously, Horvat is number one. Then beyond that, whatever your positional needs are, if you need a winger, Granlund is probably the best bet.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's pretty dire. Or Boeser, I guess, is also a legit option now.
I also said Boeser because they're playing Ottawa, Bruins, Buffalo, and Detroit.
Yeah, those are some porous teams.
So they should be able to get some points.
Yeah. They might not win any of them, but, you know, they should score, hopefully.
I like Horvat and Boeser in, a deeper league where he's probably undrafted. Someone you can play for the week and then drop next week if you want.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there anyone on those teams that you would like to pick up, Jesse? Detroit, Tampa? I mean, aside from the guys that are already going to be drafted.
Aside, my fantasy land, Kucherov or whatever. That's a good question. Detroit.
What about Mantha?
Yeah, Mantha's on fire. I think Mantha's worth a pickup. Someone in our fantasy league picked up good old Marty Furk. I don't know how to say his last name. F-R-K, fantastic three-consonant last name.
Wonder where he's from.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm sure it's... Czechoslovakia, maybe?
Germany or something?
Ooh, German's not bad, actually. Could be.
No vowels in their name?
Just hard. Furk. Yeah, so there's definitely players to be picked up on Detroit. They're kind of playing everyone right now. As for Tampa, yeah, Brayden Point's been on fire, obviously. I don't know. I'm sure some savvy owners have stolen him already after some of those three-point games he put up early. So if he's still around, someone to look at. Center's the second line. Vancouver, I don't really have anyone else. What was the other teams you mentioned?
That's it. Detroit, okay. Tampa, Vancouver.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it for those three. Yeah, that's all I can think of.
I'm satisfied with that.
Yeah, okay, good.
All right, let's move into the risers and fallers. All right. We got a bunch of guys here.
There are so many.
It doesn't take long to compile this list.
at the beginning of the year, it's so easy. You're like, look at the top 30 scorers, and you're like, oh, this guy doesn't belong at all. Yeah. Or like, this guy's so low. It's really cool, actually. So there's going to be a lot of guys we miss, I promise you guys, to begin this, because it's just, it's bonkers. It's bonkers. Yeah. There's players that have point per game. Like, my favorite stat right now is Bobby Ryan has the highest plus minus in the league.
Nice.
So I own Bobby Ryan. He has plus nine, but he only has like 4 points. And it's just like, well, okay. How, like, is that lucky that he's out there? He's playing hard and he's doing good? Or is it just like, is like, what is he doing wrong? Like, how do you get plus nine with like five points? It's so weird. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of players. So obviously, you can definitely text us ones that we missed, or I'm sorry, message us ones that we missed, or ones you want us to talk about. But we do got a good handful, probably like 15 here. So we'll try to do some damage.
Yeah, we got lots. Something else that I wanted to say before we get into this is, those players and those managers that have like stalwart players that are like drafted in the top two rounds and they're not producing, don't panic.
Yeah.
Just wait for them to come around. It's not even 10 games quite yet. So don't go flipping your roster upside down. And the same thing is, don't go selling your big players for these guys that we're going to mention.
Yeah. A lot of players we're mentioning are not your quintessential studs. It's not gonna make a difference. There are some high tier players we will mention, but for example, we're not gonna be talking about how great whatever Ovi is right now because he has 9 goals or stuff like that. So do you want to go first or me? Or,
well, I was gonna segue into don't panic.
Oh right. Okay, segue.
Richard Panic. He's playing top line with Taves and Saad right now.
Right.
And when I looked this up, it's shocking. He is also centering the top power play unit.
Interesting.
So Taves is on the second power play unit, and they put him between Saad and Kane, which, like, my mind blew up a little bit when I saw that.
That's weird. Do you think Panic's like a really good centerman, like face-off percentage-wise? Or
I have no idea. But he's racking up the points. I think he's got 6 right now.
Nice.
Trending up, I would say acquire this guy.
Yeah, I was hating on Panic last year. But he had a sort of a different situation last year. There was, you know, Hossa and people still existed on this team, and Panarin was still a person who existed. So, so you think just pick up Panic?
Well, with the lack of depth on that, like that Chicago team.
Oh, yeah, they have 6 forwards. Then it's like maybe some. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's a really good pick. And last year, he started off really strong too, right? In the first 20 games-ish. Yeah,
he was really hot last year.
And then we said to, you know, get rid of him, trade him. But then he just kind of rode out this, like, average season. Like, didn't dip really low, didn't go really high. But if you had him on your roster by the end of the season, you were like, oh, that's a good 65 points or 60 points, whatever he had last year.
Yeah.
But you were pleased with keeping him because he didn't let you down. Just, like, a nice solid floor. So I say pick him up now. He's a higher ceiling this year.
Yeah, I'll argue with that. What can we get what Panic got last year? For total points? Is that something we can pull up?
I'll look it up if you want to go to your next player.
I think, I don't know if he, did he break 40 points? If he broke 40 points, I will be very excited. But I just am a little curious about that. So anyway, my next player is a player I picked up on the waiver wire, which is Dustin Brown. Normally I'd be like, Dustin Brown is a trash can. He's like, don't ever pick him up.
I saw you. You picked him up in our league of record, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, he's actually doing really, really, really well. I'm just like zoning out, looking at the Panic stats, trying to see what he got last year. I think it was like, what was it?
44.
Yes, I was close. 44.
22 goals, 22 assists.
Okay, well, I like that stat, 22. So that's even with like a diminished, brutal role last year, because they pretty much tanked him after the first like month or two. Okay, so anyway, getting to Brown. Brown is now on the top line with Kopitar, which is fantastic. I think Brown is a classic banger. He gets lots of hits. He gets lots of pims. He's, like, fantastic multi-category player. I have him as a keep or a pickup. I think he's going to be the real deal this year. I think he might encroach on 60 points. He might do, like, a 25, 35, maybe 55 points kind of thing. He's getting tons of minutes on the power play. I think he's, like, the net front guy, so pucks are going to bounce off his shin pads. So he'll get a lot of free goals from there. As for trying to get him, I mean, if you could get him for someone for literally no value, that might be something worth thinking, but I wouldn't go too crazy over it. But yeah, Dustin Brown is a guy who surprised me. He went undrafted in our league, obviously. I'm sure in lots of leagues as well.
I would like to call that really the good. Kopitar effect.
Yeah, I mean, that was my. I have another player that's similar to that. Obviously, I'll just talk about him too, is that Kopitar is off to a hot start, which is something Kopitar doesn't do.
What?
Yeah.
Are you sure you mean Kopitar?
Yeah, exactly, right? After posting an abysmal season last year, he bounced back in a strong way. He has lots of points right now. So he's a player I would try to trade for because I've never seen Kopitar with a hot start. So if he has a hot start, does that mean he's going to slump? I don't know. Hopefully, if he stays consistent, he could easily get back to 70, 75-point form. He's getting everything, and Brown is a direct beneficiary of this. So if you have Kopitar, I'd pick up Brown for the combo. If you can only get a piece of one guy, then I would just try to get Brown for now. He's free. And if you're in a banger league or a league like us that counts the hits, the penalty minutes, and all that kind of stuff, that's definitely something Brown does. He's kind of an agitator, definitely takes runs at people, and will fight anyone. The dude is, like, ugly as sin. He does not care. He will throw down. So that is my first trending up guy, and I would definitely look for Brown on the waiver wire.
I like it. I like his extra stats.
Yeah.
Makes him super appealing to all those extra leagues.
Yeah.
All right, my next one, you may not like this one.
Okay, what do we got?
And this is for all those Colorado Avalanche fans out there. Everyone listening from Colorado, I need you to instantly tweet me because I am going to say that your whole top line is on the rise right now. Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Ratanen. This is one of the most talented lines in the NHL, I would think.
I would say MacKinnon and Ratanen. I think Landeskog is a bum still. But it is a really good line.
That's super, like, McDavid, Draisaitl, and you got Maroon.
Yeah, that is kind of funny.
So, like, these three are better than, like, could be the highest scoring line in the NHL.
Yeah, if they could put it together, for sure. So you're high on all three of these?
I'm high on all three of them. Ratanen, I want for sure.
Yeah.
He's probably drafted in your leagues because someone was smarter than that, depending on
how deep you are.
But this is an insane power play unit. I think MacKinnon just had like an injury. He left last game.
He's fine.
He's okay?
Yeah, he got a stick in the eye or something, but I think he either played the next game or he's playing the next game is what I read. So he'll be okay.
Yeah, all three of these guys are awesome. If your league includes shots, Landeskog is your guy on this line. He gets like 10 shots a game.
Yeah, same thing. Landeskog hits a lot as well.
Yep.
The other two guys don't really have those kind of peripherals. I think Ratanen shoots, but I don't know if he hits or does anything else too fantastic like that.
What do you think about those three? Do you like them or do you?
I like MacKinnon, Ratanen. I don't like Landeskog. I think he's a bum. I would swap Andrew Ghetto in there instead of Landeskog, just because Andrew Ghetto is kind of a sneakier pick. He's probably undrafted. He's getting some top power play time. And he's getting some minutes. I mean, you could also say Yakupov. I mean, Yakupov's on fire right now.
Oh, but he's not getting the minutes.
But he only gets, like, really sheltered power play. So, if you're looking on some stuff. But, no, I like it. Like I said, I watched a bunch of Colorado games, actually, just because there was nothing else on in the early weeks. And they look like a good team. I mean, Tyson Barrie's doing awesome on the defense. And they look like a totally different team. I don't know. I'm liking Colorado.
I thought you wouldn't like my pick.
No.
I thought you'd be like, oh, Colorado.
No. I totally like it. Yeah. No, I like it. It's
good. My hands are up in the air. I'm fist pumping.
Like a sand person from Star Wars. Two hands.
Yeah. I didn't think anyone would like Colorado pick.
No, I like it.
You want to go next?
We already talked about Kopitar, so I'll move on to Palmer. Palmerville. Palmer. Two others. I drafted Palmerville just because hoping he would get some of that sweet coattails from Jack Eichel. For some reason, Palmerville has a lot of goals, which is kind of blowing my mind. Palmerville is not really a goal scorer, but I guess when you got Eichel passing to you, you can chip those in. He's been around point per game. This is a tough one for me. I don't know if it's a keep or a trade. He's someone I wouldn't acquire unless you owned one of them. Like, if you own Eichel, maybe if you want the combo, it depends if you want. But he definitely is a guy that could get sent down. I mean, Buffalo finally got their first win. So it's not like
they don't look very good right now.
Oh, they're a terrible team. They're a terrible, terrible team. They'll be bottom. They're not making the playoffs. I got nothing positive to say. Eichel might probably get the 75 points. I mean, I'm sure he'll get there. But that team is really, really not going to be good. Ristolainen is off to a brutal start points-wise. Ryan O'Reilly's off to a brutal start.
Yeah.
Reinhardt finally got, like, his first point. So the bright spot is definitely just that top line. That's the only point on that team that's going to be fantasy value. So Palmville is definitely cheap. I'm torn on this one. I don't know. What would you do? Would you keep him or would you trade him?
Oh, I'd get rid of him.
Just cut him?
No, I would cut him. Okay, I would try to trade him. Okay, and if I couldn't, then I would just wait for him to have, you know, a big stretch. He's going to have a stretch where he doesn't score or get a point in like five or six games.
Oh, probably. For sure. Maybe longer. I mean, so it's a tough one for me. I have Palmville. I don't know what I'm going to do with him just yet. He's producing just fine for me right now. But I'm sure 20 games down the row, there's going to be some movement or something. So,
yeah, he's not going to be 20-20.
Yeah, I'd be
surprised. He's going to be 10-20.
Yeah, maybe 12 max.
And he already has six now.
Yeah.
So he's going to get four more in the next 15 games. That's what I predict.
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit better, but I don't think he's going to be that exciting. So that's a tough one for me. I don't know. I don't really have too much advice. Obviously, he's hot right now, so keep him. He's hot. That's basically all you can do.
Here's what you do. You package deal him. You make a 2-for-2 trade, and you give him Palmville and someone else with a little more higher upside to maybe someone in your league that just needs some points now.
Yeah.
Like one of the bottom tier teams in your league or something.
Yeah, especially if you're in like a week-to-week thing, like a roto league, and you need a guy that's like seemingly consistent right now for points. Yep. Yeah, that's definitely an idea you could do. Yeah, I'm just not in love with his long-term value because I think Buffalo is going to win maybe 20 to 30 games this year, the way it looks like. So there's going to be a lot of probably line juggling and Eichel saying he hates losing again and again. So
I'm surprised he signed that huge contract if he doesn't want to lose again and again.
I know. But it's like, you want money though, right? I mean, I don't know. But he could go anywhere and get that kind of money. So it's such a weird decision. I don't know. I'm not a hockey player, so I can't really just get into their brain, but it's, I don't know how you look at Buffalo and you're like, yeah, like
you're satisfied at where this team is
going.
Yeah,
like this is like we're moving in the right direction. Like I don't know.
All right, let's keep moving on. Since you didn't give anyone a real answer, I'm just gonna say package deal.
Yeah,
package
sure.
deal. Try to get him away.
Yeah.
Next player I got, Kilhorn. Nice. He has 7 points in 7 games.
Disgusting.
Trade Kilhorn away.
100%.
Everyone is going to be looking at this guy, and they're like, oh, he must have, like, Kucherov, Stamkos, Braden Point. All these guys on Tampa are just getting mad points. Here's an interesting stat for you. He plays on the third line.
Yep.
Okay, so he doesn't play with those guys that I just mentioned.
That's where he belongs.
He gets first unit power play time.
Oh, okay, well, there's some inflated stats.
That's why he has inflated stats. All right, so you need to trade this guy away. He's probably not going to play on the power play all the time, and he's not getting the minutes. He's getting like 10, 13 minutes a game, but he's just on the power play to try to get those goals. Trade him away.
Yeah, if you own him, get that value. Move him to what he can. If you're in a week-to-week league, yeah, risky week-to-week pickup. Hopefully he cashes in on the power play. Hopefully he doesn't.
These are the guys that you really got to look at their points.
Yeah.
Like, once they play a game, it's like, oh, I got 2 points. But how many minutes did he play?
Yeah.
Okay, so he played 10 minutes. What's going on here?
Yeah, that's a tough one. But I'd be the same way. I would definitely trade Kilhorn. I would never own him in the first place because I hate him. I know that's redundant. But, yeah, for sure, definitely trade him on that value. There's just no way he's staying at a point-per-game place. It's Kilhorn. He's going to end up with sub-50 points max. So.
And with the talent that's on Tampa, he's just going to get pushed down.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, if they need power play, if they need to score, it's gonna be like Kucherov, Stamkos,
yeah, Hedman,
and these guys,
Point,
yeah,
Palat.
It's not gonna be Kilhorn. He'll be benched for the bigger names.
Absolutely, I agree.
Do you got any more forwards?
Yeah, I got two more.
Go ahead.
I got Rick Nash, big old
Nash.
I brought up Rick Nash only because he has a really cool stat I was looking at yesterday. He has 25 shots, which is incredible. But he has one goal, no assists. so at that pace, he's probably on pace for, well, points-wise, it's brutal, 20 points. Goal-wise, like maybe 8 goals over the full year. Anyway, just cut Nash, dudes. It's over. It should be over every time. I know he has like a weird like good season, bad season, bad season, good season, or weird trends like that you can look at. But
it's sad to say that. Yeah, because I like Nash.
Of course, everyone likes Nash. Columbus Nash was like the guy. It was so cool to watch. He was like this big power forward. He could skate. He could dangle, which was cool. Unfortunately, it is not that time for Nash anymore. If he's on your team, I would cut the guy. It's basically the Zibanejad type show now in Rangers. They're using the Zuccarellos, the Criders, the young guys. Nash is totally just phased out of that entire team. Yeah. Yes, in a bubble, Nash, if he had like one on O's, would score tons of goals. His wrist shot is still wicked, don't get me wrong. But today's AHL, I know Nash was drafted in our league. I think he's still on a person's team.
Way late, like the 18th round or something.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. He wasn't drafted high by anyone's means. But yeah, Nash is not someone you can rely on week to week for sure for you guys in Roto Leagues. And long-term fantasy league, this guy has to go. It's just disgusting. So unless your league values shots somehow in some bizarro land. But Nash has to go. There's just nothing. I've watched the games, and he's just so phased out. It's not even funny. So
yeah. And when you talk about Nash, there are other players with higher upside that I would rather take.
Oh, God.
Like some of these rookies, like even like Boeser from Vancouver.
There's so many.
I'd be like, hey, let's try this rookie out rather than rostering Nash every day.
I would take Furk like
there you go.
Over Nash like in a heartbeat, honestly.
Or Vrana.
Yeah, exactly.
Vrana. Washington there.
Yeah, so Nash has to go. I don't know if you own him, but yeah, it's not. No.
Jesse's really adamant about this. He's turning red in the face.
Yeah.
Just, Nash has to go.
It's reprehensible. He's just so bad. I don't know.
All right, another guy that I got here, James Neal, the big 6 goals, 0 assists.
Yeah, he's pitching the no-hitter. I like it. Or the no-assists, whatever.
I have a giant trade beside Neal. I don't think Vegas can maintain their pace right now. Like, I like the fact that they're a young team and they're flying around. They have no cares in the world. But these, like, the routines set in for all these other teams, and I think Vegas is going to struggle down the stretch. Neal, huge injury risk as well.
Mm-hmm.
And suspension risk I have in here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, to what you say is I don't think, like, coaches don't have the book on Vegas, right? They don't know what they do. They don't know their power play styles. So whatever they're doing, they're just is like, we're just showing up and we're just going to watch them play kind of thing. So there's no real identity on this team yet. Neal is also a massive, massive – well, okay, I'll segue into something else. I think Neal's going to get traded this year, 100%, in my opinion. Vegas has no reason to keep Neal. I think they'll trade him to a playoff-bound team, possibly back to Nashville or a team that needs scoring. So I don't see him
back to Pittsburgh
or anywhere. Like I don't think he's gonna finish the year on Vegas. There's no point to Vegas to have like a 40-goal scorer. Like it makes no point. Like so I would. It's tough. If you have a spot and you can afford to hang on to Neal till the trade deadline, you could get some super mega value the second half of the season out of James Neal. Because I'm so positive he's going to get traded. Like, there's just no point to have James Neal on this team, especially with his hot start. I mean, Vegas is just salivating. George McPhee's like, oh, my God, Neal, get 25 goals by the trade deadline so he can just, like, get a first out of some team, right? So I think he's going to get moved.
That's a very good point. I never thought of that.
Yeah, I just can't see him finishing the team. Vegas is not going to challenge for a playoff spot. Even if they did make it to the playoffs by some freaking nature, their first round bounce out. It's not any team that's worth keeping. And from what we can tell about this GM wanting just value from every player, he's kind of I'm not a big fan of the GM style in there. I think it's gross, even though he's an ex-Capital GM. I see them definitely moving Neal. So maybe they'll get some prospects back or a pick, whatever it is. So that's my fantasy thing. But it's tough because, like, that's not happening for, you know, 3 months from now. So, but definitely trade for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on to defenseman.
Sure.
I got an awesome defenseman here. You may be surprised. Mike Green.
Yeah, I know.
On the Detroit Red Wings is back to his Washington form.
Yeah, just.
He has 8 points, 1 goal, 7 assists.
Just dish master. There's no other defense on Detroit, apparently, that gets points.
And that's exactly why I'm saying keep him.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
There are no other defense on Detroit. He is eating up all the minutes, and he's on the power play. That's all he has to do.
That's all he has to do, man. If you're getting assists out of a defenseman, that's the dream. Who cares? He's not going to score 30 goals again. That's long gone. But if he can get like 40 assists and like 5 to 8 goals, I mean, that's crazy. That's a 50-point defenseman that you drafted in like the last round.
Yeah. So, even if he's drafted, like people still might be picking him up on the waivers right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a deep league that has 5 defense over 9 players, and he was still one of the last defense. So yeah. I guarantee he's in a lot of other leagues. So
I think it's an awesome pickup. Detroit doesn't have to rely on Cronwall on the power play anymore.
Nope. No Lidstrom, no Cronwall, no... I don't know if that's Scott or
Erickson.
Resident Detroit guy, but yeah, I don't know much about Detroit defense. I know it's usually pretty bad. DeKaiser, I think, is another name, but yeah, Green is obviously the number one. He's going to quarterback probably both units. Just grind it out.
He might. Just be wary of his injuries. That's all I have to say about him.
Yeah, concussion risk, injury risk, obviously, but for what you're getting for Green, I don't think you care.
I know. I love it. Yeah. I love the pick of Green.
Yeah. You're picking him up off the waiver wire. You don't care about his concussion risk. You didn't waste a draft pick. So it's like,
exactly.
It's all gravy train. So yeah, I actually see it kind of being sustainable. So
I know. Me too. That's the weird
thing. Which is really weird for me because normally I'd be like, Green is such a bust. But,
and these players.
It's not like he's still Mike Green. He still knows how to play hockey. He still knows how to pass and shoot. So.
And the thing is with these defensemen, they don't need to be like they don't need to be like run and gun. Right? These guys that are like older, like the Goligoskis and stuff, they still put up numbers.
Yeah, no, I mean, today's NHL is just, if you can make a breakout pass, you're like, that's all you need to do as a defenseman. If you can make the breakout pass to the whatever, then you're going to get those secondary assists all the time because that's what the NHL wants. And Green is offensively gifted enough to make those passes. So
I think his ceiling is 50.
I think, yeah. I mean,
like, he could push it up there.
It's so gross to say, but yeah, Mike Green could be back. Mike Green equals back. No, I don't know. 50 points? I mean, the pace is on right now. I mean, 50 points for sure is attainable. Like, maybe like a 43 assist season. I mean, yeah. Detroit can score, so.
They got lots of young guys, too. They're just rounding out their roster and stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Boom, you got to follow up my Mike Green pick. Do you got someone else that's like that good?
Yeah, I got Butcher.
Oh, yes, you alluded to Butcher already.
Will Butcher, definitely a waiver wire pick. There's none of you guys who drafted Butcher. If you did, you are to the New Jersey or you're his brother or you're just prognosticating master. I don't know.
You're the next guest on the show.
Yeah, essentially, you can run my team, but... Yeah, Will Butcher, 22-year-old college rookie, no goals but 8 assists, instantly put into the top power play unit. He's making Severson look terrible, so I think I don't have Severson on a list, but if I had Severson, I could just do a quick thing. It's like, he's the odd man out, cut him, move on. Severson's not getting the opportunities. Butcher looks good. Kid can skate, he's got hands, I'm a big fan of him. I picked him up, and he's going to be fine, I think. The issue with college players is they're not used to the 82-game schedule, as we saw with Jimmy Vesey last year, who had a blazing start, and then as soon as it hit like 40 games, just fatigued and like totally disappeared off the roster.
Yeah.
I'm hoping since he plays defense that maybe he's used to more minutes in college and something like that. It's definitely something to monitor, so I think Butcher's going to be fine for 30, 40 games. My only thing is if when you get the leader in the season... Keep an eye on him like I will to see if he starts getting fatigued and burnt out because, like I said, the college guys...
It's a good point. Yeah.
They have like a 40-game season. It's like really easy. So
yeah.
But as it is right now, Butcher's a big old keep for me. And especially in our league where we're allowed to keep a free rookie, I'm pretty excited that Butcher keeps it up. That's a free defense rookie. And so maybe he'll turn out. So, but yeah, big fan of Butcher.
I'm going to say I don't like it.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't like it. He plays third unit defense pair.
Yeah, but 5-on-5 isn't where it at. Who cares?
That's the same thing I just said about Kilhorn. Is he's not getting the minutes, but he's playing power play.
True, but he's a forward, and that's the thing. Forward, who cares? Defense, if you get a first unit power play defense role, that's like perfect. All you need is 40 points as a defenseman, and you're legit. I mean, that's fine. But
that's hard to get.
It is hard to get, so we'll see. He's obviously off to a hot start. The big thing is if your league counts goals, Butcher's not your guy. I've watched. His shot isn't very fantastic, and he's 100% pass-first mentality. So if he gets more than 4 goals on the season, I think that would blow my mind. I think that's what I'm going to pitch right now as his max goal total, maybe 3 to 4.
Ooh.
But, yeah, definitely not a goal scorer. He's not a FNUF or
You think Phaneuf's a goal scorer?
Well, he Phaneuf will have more goals than Butcher. Phaneuf already has a goal. He's a sniper.
Said no one ever.
I'm trying to think. Who's a goal scoring defenseman? Obviously,
Shattenkirk,
Burns,
Falk.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, let's keep moving on. Speaking of Shattenkirk, I got Pietrangelo, 2 goals, 6 assists. Keep. There's no one else in St. Louis to play on the blue line now with Shattenkirk gone.
Yeah, we had a terrible draft in our league. Someone taking Parayko before Pietrangelo. I buried
head scratcher.
Buried my head in my fantasy book and cried because I didn't have any draft picks to do anything about it. Pietrangelo is an absolute beast. Like, yeah. He plays everything. Shorthanded, power play, five on five, 4 on 4. He's like the Carlson of this team. Like, he's in every possible situation to succeed. If you have him, keep him. If you can buy him from someone, buy him. I think he's going to get close to 60 points. Like, he's playing like Norris already, honestly. There is my hot take for the year. Norris nominee Pietrangelo this year. I think he'll be part of the Norris nominees. He's an absolute monster on defense. I'm a huge fan of him. Wish I had him.
It's crazy. When him and Shattenkirk were playing like last year, they were both averaging like 24 minutes or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like just monster minutes.
Yeah.
So you know those guys are going to put in the back of the net. And St. Louis is a scoring team.
Yep.
They're not a defensive team, so they are going to score lots.
Yeah, big fan of that. I have the complete opposite player. I have Nick Leddy as my next list. Nick Leddy is a big old cut. He does man the first power play unit. He does quarterback it. He does play lots of minutes. But the Islanders are a terrible team, unfortunately. So I watched enough Islanders games this year, and it's a pretty stale power play, very unpotent. Eberle is kind of not looking very good on this team. I drafted Eberle for that crazy upside, but he only has a few assists, can't even score a goal yet. So I'm not a big fan of him. If you have him on your team, take a long, hard look. If you're an Islanders fan, think about it. I know he does get the minutes and he does get the plum opportunity of the Tavares power play, but it's a pretty bad power play, guys. Like, it's pretty, pretty bad to watch. I think they're going to have one of the lower power play percentage at the end of the year. I expect them to be bottom 10. So something to think about, because there's not a lot of 5-on-5 goals on this team. So I had Leddy, drafted him as my fifth defenseman, thought he'd round it out, do something cool, but I already decided to cut him. And there's no trade value there, obviously, so it's just a straight cut.
Yeah, there's someone else there, maybe a Provorov or something is on the waivers you can pick up.
Yeah, anyone. I mean, there's got to be someone better than Leddy.
All right, someone that I want to talk about.
Sure.
A little bit of a weird one here. Brett Burns.
Yes, this is the one of the few megastars, just because it's so weird.
Here's a stat for you. Guess what the worst team in the NHL is.
Buffalo.
No, the Sharks.
Have they not won yet?
No.
Really?
They have not.
Oh, I love it.
The Sharks are the worst team in the NHL right now. In 4 games, Burns has 1 point. The Sharks all around are just terrible.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Pavelski and players that are going to be trash this year. But yeah, anyway, go keep going.
Well, my thing with Burns is that now is the time to try to trade for him.
Yes.
Because he's still a solid defenseman. He's still going to be 45 to 50 points, that's pretty much guaranteed for a defenseman of his caliber. And the owner is probably like sweating bombs right now.
Yeah.
He's like, no points. This team is terrible. What do I do?
And a guy who took Burns probably took him literally in the first round.
Yeah.
Based on last year. I mean, he just won the Norris. He had like almost 80 points, 30 goals. Chances are he was first round or fringe second round. So, if you got 1 point out of your first round pick by now, you're pretty, you know, not feeling it, and you're losing weeks, that's for sure.
Try to get him.
Yeah, throw him an offer.
Maybe you got someone like Ghost Bear that's doing really good, or Muzzin.
Yeah, it's tough to get a Burns because obviously he's worth and you know the pedigree he can produce, but the Sharks as a whole look terrible. I didn't say this on the podcast, but I wasn't really high on the Sharks this year. They looked really... I'm not a big fan. I think Pavelski's going to regress. Burns is going to regress. All the power play goals on that team have been like LeBlanc and like Timo Meier.
Yep.
So it's not even like guys that are normally like rocks on that team. I think Couture has 1 point again. Sharks are a tough one to look at. There might be some movement this year. I don't know.
Burns is the only one I want.
Oh, yeah.
Want on that
team. If there's one player on that team, you target is Burns because he is a one-man team.
And Martin Jones?
Maybe? I don't even want Jones.
No?
No. I don't like the Sharks this year. That's why.
It's heartbreaking to say that, but.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's early, whatever, but a team that good with no wins is definitely shocking. That's disgusting.
Well, hopefully they can turn it around.
Yeah.
You got more defensemen there before we jump into goalies? I got one more defense.
Yeah, I got three. I can sort of just pound them out together.
Go ahead.
One is Ekman-Larsson. Ekman-Larsson, probably one with a high pick in your league. He hasn't been getting any points, really. All the power play points have just been forwards and stuff like that, so he's off to an incredibly slow start. I do expect Arizona to keep scoring and him to bounce back a bit, but not that much, to be honest. So if you can steal Ekman-Larsson from someone for some low, low value, it's definitely going to be something to look at. But I need more time on him, but he's definitely a higher defenseman that I thought would bounce back this year. That's been really, really slow. Next, I'll talk about is your boy, Klefbom, who would be off to a blazing start based on last year's projections, has been pretty woefully slow. I'm pretty sure he still plays the big minutes, the top power play time. Yeah. I don't know if it's just...
It's the 1-3 Oilers, man.
Yeah, they're just not winning. They're not converting on power plays. So, I don't know. You own Klefbom. What do you want to do? Obviously, you just ride him out. I mean,
just
nothing
ride
else,
him out.
Nothing else he can do.
There's no other defensemen out there that have an upside like Klefbom.
Yeah.
Like, on the waivers and stuff.
No,
there's
no.
Just...
Yeah, I agree.
So, you just got to wait for him.
Yeah.
Edmonton's got to be better than a 1-3 team.
Yeah, you'd hope. Like, really. My last one is Justin Falk. Falk doesn't have a lot of points right now, but he's playing 26 minutes a game, taking
26?
Yeah, 26. Like, he's still the number one guy there. I know it's like, oh, Hanifin, Slavin. It's still Falk. Falk is the engine that runs that team. Yes, he doesn't have points going, but I picked him up off the waiver wire from one of our teams in our league, dropped him for Olli Maatta. I'm not going to call him out. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Mata's on fire. I'm a big fan of Falk. I think he's going to get the goals and he's going to get the points, especially with those minutes. So he's a guy that I'm going to ride out for at least 10, 15 games. So if he pitches zero for me in 15 games, then I guess that is what it is. But that's pretty much it for my defensive stuff.
And the fact that Falk was dropped and Carolina's played 2 games?
Yeah, it was a...
They've played the lowest in the league, haven't they? Like 2 or 3 games?
Yeah, 3 games, I think. Maybe 2 or 3 games? I don't know. I think
it's really low, and some of the teams have played like 6.
Yeah, because I think Skinner, you know, maybe has 2 goals in 2 games. I think that's what it is, maybe. Yeah.
You can't be doing that. Don't do that. That's
don't
something
do
you
that.
Don't
yeah.
do.
Yeah, there's a word. Like, I mean, I'd understand if they were giving him 12 minutes and they totally phased out his role, but... Yes, Olli Maatta has points, and it's the Pittsburgh, and they're so exciting, they score goals and stuff like that, but I mean, like, come on, give these guys 20 games, man, you drafted them for a reason. Falk is a legit number one, like, so whatever, I picked him up, I'm super excited, I'm going to pat myself on the back for that, so maybe these are guys to be looking out for in your league for people to be cutting, because some of them are off to brutal starts. I mean, Ekman-Larsson, as we mentioned, Klefbom, and... I know you might think, all these guys will never be cut. There are leagues, even in our league.
Oh, people are sweating out there.
That people will cut. And some people have lower patience levels with players than others. And some people just get excited. And be savvy on the wire. Be first and try to get some of these players. Because, I mean, obviously Burns is not going to get cut. But there might be one league out of 10,000 out there that Burns gets cut. And that one guy is like, yes. So we'll see what happens.
It's always... worth looking at the transaction history to see who's dropping and picking up.
Check it all the time.
Speaking of the Penguins, Justin Schultz.
Yeah.
This is a guy that I want to talk about here. Trade him or cut him. If you can trade him, thumbs up to you.
Yeah.
If not, cut him. He's got 2 points, and the Penguins have scored how many goals?
A billion points?
Yeah. Seems like a billion. Letang is back on his power play spot. So Schultz is non-existent. He's third pair there, and he's not getting any power play time.
Yeah, unless you're banking on them sweet 5-on-5 Schultz points, I would trade him.
I don't think there's anyone that wants him.
I think, well, hey, man, people are picking up Olli Maatta. I mean, come on. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He's a Pittsburgh player, and everyone loves Pittsburgh players. Move him for that value he got last year. Or if you're in a weird league where you can handcuff Letang or something, you can keep Schultz. I don't know. But... Yeah, the unit is Pittsburgh. It's four forwards. It's Letang. That's what it is. I mean,
yeah,
they're going to play probably the full 2 minutes if the coach can let them. They're not, they don't care. There's no second power play unit in Pittsburgh. They don't care. They're going to play the whole minute 40 and give them the last 15 seconds. So
yeah. That might just be my only straight cut. I would just say he's cuttable.
Yeah.
There's other players out there, and I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, licking their chops like, oh, I got Schultz off the waivers because some... No, no one's going to say that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. If you can get value for him just because of his jersey he's wearing, go for it, and what he did last year. But yeah, as long as Letang is in there, he is literally like, yeah, 20-point guy max.
Okay, let's jump on to goalies, and then we'll do our kudos for the day.
Sure.
Talbot has one win. We're just talking about the Oilers.
Yeah.
1-3-1, I think.
Yeah.
Talbot was probably drafted very high after how well the Oilers did in the playoffs.
He should be top two goalies, three goalies, maybe Hopi him quick, something like, or sorry, Price, not quick.
Well, that was an old yeah. comment that was running through.
Throwback to 2011. I don't know.
Keep Talbot, ride him out.
No cut.
No cut. There's no one out there that's going to be better than Talbot throughout the whole season.
No, God,
he's getting every start. Seems like he's playing 82 games.
Yeah, Brassois or whatever ain't taking his friggin' starts, especially if they're not winning. I mean, they're not going to go to the well and be like, okay, Talbot's the reason we're not winning. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just hold him. Don't panic.
Don't panic. Don't take any offers. Don't just turn off your phone when people are talking to you about Talbot. He'll get the 40 wins. Just it's going to take a while to get there. Not as fast as last year.
If you're taking offers, know that he's still going to get 40 wins.
Yeah.
So look for a 40-win goalie in return.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't lowball yourself because he's off to a slow start.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be like, oh, Schneider's hot or something. No, please don't.
No.
You drafted this guy for a reason. The team is still good. It'll figure it out.
Who do you got?
Mine goalies. Is Rask. Similar situation. Team is like one in whatever. Rask is still a god-tier goalie, elite tier. He's going to get 38 to 40 wins potentially. Boston is a team that gets better as the year goes on. So Rask is a big old keep for me. Don't panic. Don't take the trade. So big fan of Rask. I think it'll be fine.
I'm shaking my head.
Well, what do? You trade Rask?
I would trade Rask. I don't like Bruins. The Bruins are not a strong team.
I think they'll figure it out. I mean, they still have Pastrnak, Marchand. They got good defense. They'll be okay.
I think they're going to have a very low year.
They need Bergeron. They haven't even had Bergeron back. That's like the entire part of their team. That's their face-off winner. That's their multi-Swiss Army knife of a player.
That is true. Do you think they make the playoffs?
Yeah, for sure. If Bergeron's healthy, I think they make the playoffs.
I say no.
It'll be close. I'm not saying they win their division by any means. They're in a brutal division, like with the Leafs and all these other guys. So it's going to be tough.
That's why I say they don't make the playoffs. There's too many teams that are better.
Yeah.
And just younger and faster, and Bruins are getting slower and slower.
Yeah, no, I it's definitely possible to miss the playoffs. Fantasy-wise, I still think Rask will be fine. If you're taking a goalie, do the same thing. Take a goalie that's going to get, you know, hopefully the same amount of wins. I still think Rask will be fine. I still think he'll get the 38 wins. So that's me personally.
Okay, before I say my goalie, would you take Rask or Anderson?
Which Anderson?
Craig.
No, Rask.
Really?
Yeah. I don't trust
Craig. Ottawa. Ottawa and their hot start.
I don't trust. I like Ottawa. Ottawa's fine. I just don't trust Craig. The more starts Craig gets, the worse he gets. I saw like a stat or something like a year ago, or not a year ago, last playoffs. Like, yeah, once Craig hits like 50 games played or whatever, his like save percentage just plummets and he just like dies. So I don't think. Yeah, I don't know. I would take Rask out of that, but it is tempting because Ottawa is a pretty good team, and they just got Carlson back, so.
Yeah, that's exciting. Okay, my goalie, another goalie that I want to talk about is Connor Hellebuck.
Yes.
3 wins, 0 losses. Winnipeg is a massively high-scoring team. They have a crazy solid defense. All they need is a goalie.
They just need someone to let in 2 a night. That's it. That's all.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It's just, that's it.
They should probably just put up, like, that paper outline of the goalie in their net.
Exactly.
And then just let that be their goalie for the game. But Hellebuck's been doing really good. He did a lot of work last year because he wasn't happy doing the timeshares with Pavlik and Hutchinson. And they couldn't figure out who was their number one. So they brought in Mason this year.
Mm-hmm.
Mason had 3 losses all in a row.
with some disgusting goals against average. I think he has like a 7 goal against average right now or something.
It's like just terrible. We knew that Mason wasn't going to be the starter, but maybe they could split.
Yeah, exactly. We expected 50-50, right?
So, but so far, Hellebuck is stealing the show.
Which, yeah, he earned it.
Did I say on the podcast that I was going to...
Yeah, you said you draft Hellebuck.
I said I was going to draft Hellebuck my last pick and just wait for my goalie.
Yeah.
In our league, when it came down, I was waiting to for Hellebuck at the end, but then there was also Mike Smith there.
Yeah.
So I didn't pick up Hellebuck, but I picked up Mike Smith. But Hellebuck was in my mind.
Yeah, he would have been legit, just as good.
If he can keep this going, he can be like a solid presence so that Winnipeg can score like they know they can score. Winnipeg is going to be a formidable foe this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, Winnipeg is a fantastic team. They, like I said, they have a crazy offense, and their defense is pretty, like, actually really good as well. So it's just the issue has been the same thing every time. It's just they score 5, but they get 6 on them. It's like, what can you do, right? So, yeah, Maurice is definitely going to roll the hot hand. He complains about goaltending more than any coach I've seen.
Yeah,
so there's no,
sure he does.
Yeah, so there's no way he's going to be like, oh, we should give them like an even split. And like, let's you know, like, no. He's going to be, Hellebuck, you're winning games, sweet bro. Like, you're going to do 60 out of the 82 games. Like, I don't care if we got signed Mason in the offseason. Like, that's it, so.
I think Mason is playing tonight after his 3 losses.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, can you get us a win?
Yeah, exactly.
Or are we just going to bench you?
Yeah, exactly, right.
So that'll be interesting to see what happens tonight, but I'm pretty sure Hellebuck is going to come out within 20, 25 games. He'll come out as the number one and lead them into the playoffs.
That's yeah, it might even be faster.
Yeah.
Might even be 10.
Well, the way Mason's playing.
If Mason pitches another goose egg 4-5 goal tonight, it could be it. We might not see Mason for another 7 games. So.
Yeah, and that's only if it's a back-to-back after
that. Yeah, exactly, right.
Do you got another goalie on there?
Yeah, I got... the big dog himself, Jimmy Howard, has 3 wins. Detroit is winning bizarro world right now. So mine is a big old trade.
Trade him.
Trade Howard for Talbot. Trade Howard for Rask. Trade Howard for these guys that are not performing well. Detroit is not that good of a team. Sorry, Scott. This is like an illusion right now about how well they're overperforming. Once people get into like that classic quote-unquote mid-season form or whatever, Detroit is going to go on some pretty epic losing streaks. They'll hit the 8 in a row, and they're going to disappear. Right now, Detroit's rookies are just carrying them like crazy. They're so fast. They're scoring goals. They're winning games they shouldn't be winning. But last night, case in point, they played against Tampa, an actual elite team, and they got crushed 3-2. So, okay, well, crushed is the wrong word, but they lost. They lost 3-2. Like, these are the teams that are going to consistently, you know, put them down. They're not going to beat the elite teams, so...
Out of that goalie situation in Detroit, like, they got Mrazek still.
I don't want either, man. Oh, my goodness.
I like Howard out of it, though. It seems like Howard wants to put in the effort to get better to play and be the number one guy there.
Yeah.
So, if you're in a deep league and you have to pick a goalie, I like him over Mrazek.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. If you're in a deeper league, you have a 3-goalie league, or you just have a 12-person league with 2 goalies, Howard is fine. Like, I mean, I'm sure you got him with a trench pick, so you're not exactly bummed out about where you got him. So, but mine is, yeah, trade. Try to get a steady goalie that is underperforming brutally right now.
Like, what about like a Martin Jones?
Well, I mean, if someone gives you Martin Jones for Howard, you're laughing. I mean, you have to do it just because the Sharks are better than Detroit. They should be. So, moral of the story is that I don't see Detroit keeping up that pace at all. So,
yeah, I would probably agree with that. Okay, let's move into our kudos for the week. Before we do that, remind you guys where to hit us up at Fantasy NHL Talk, Twitter. Send us everything.
Yeah, send us your draft. Send us pictures of your dog. I don't know. Send us whatever you want.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, sure, man.
We'll look at it all.
Yeah.
Well, I reply to most stuff.
Yeah, we try to get the best questions. Well, not really the best questions. We try to get back as fast as we can to all the questions.
And eventually we will be doing like a big mail show for like all the questions that have come in over the last couple months. We'll answer as much as we can. There was a lot of questions about like the pre-draft stuff and like managing the league and stuff. So maybe that's something we can do again.
Yep.
Sweet. My kudos of the week, if you guys are just tuning in this season, kudos is something that's not related to hockey. So it could be a different sport, a movie you saw, a restaurant you went to, just anything.
Literally anything, yeah.
Just something else other than hockey, because we talk about other stuff.
You know, we have lives, okay? We have lives where we go outside, some of us.
Kind of, yeah. All right, this last week, I went to Blade Runner, the new Blade Runner.
Nice.
Super, super good. I don't know if anyone out there has seen the original Blade Runner. I would definitely recommend going to the watching the first one and then going to the second one.
Yes.
Because there is so much that is, like, connected. And even, like, the way the first one was shot, like, the sound, the lighting, even the way, like, the characters act, and tons of characters that were in the first one are in the second one, and, like, they're just so intertwined. It's such a good movie. It's 3 hours long.
Yeah, it's commitment.
It's a lot to sit through.
Yeah, I fell asleep, unfortunately. That doesn't mean that I say it's bad. I just went to, like, a 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock show like an idiot, and...
You were there all night?
Yeah, just lost it in the last 44. So, but yeah, it was a fantastic movie. So good, so good.
It was really exciting. If you don't know what it's about, it's kind of about like AI and robots and that kind of stuff. You know, the age-old debate is what is human and kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Something that's cool that my wife brought up right after it, she said, did you notice that every time they were talking about like AI being humans in the movie, there's lots of water around?
Mm-hmm.
And water is like the sign of life.
Yeah, that's really cool. I did not notice that. I fell asleep. Just kidding. But no, yeah, that's a really great point. I know you mentioned there was like music cues as well.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely. So you would recommend seeing the older one first though, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There's lots of stuff that goes back and forth. And when you're watching the new one, watch for water. When they're trying to make like a robot like feel more human, there's water around. It's raining or they're in the water or something like that. It's really cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, I had nothing but good things to say as well. Gosling was fantastic. It was a pretty cool movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
My kudos of the week is a board game. I know, nerd alert, but it is a game called Mansions of Madness. Basically, you...
Is it like Clue? Because that's all I think of when you say mansions.
It's sort of like Clue, and there's like a... You're in a mansion, I guess. But no, It's like a board game. You explore the world. It's like H.P. Lovecraft. If you're not familiar with that, he's very like end of the world, apocalypse type, like Cthulhu monsters. Like very, you'd have to just Google him, I guess. I can't really describe it if you don't know what it is. So yeah, it's a really fun board game, and I've been playing that a few times this week. And yeah, if you're a board game geek out there, I'm sure you know about it. Or if you're looking for a new super nerdy game for you and your friends. Something I extremely enjoyed, so definitely going to give a shout-out to that.
What's the object of the game?
It depends. Like, there's different scenarios. You get put in, like, different stories and stuff like that.
Oh.
And you just adapt to whatever story you get put in. There's, like, an app now, which makes the game way better. So it tells you exactly what to do. It's, like, what monsters attack you, what dice you roll. It streamlines the game, like, extremely, extremely well. And, like, it's just a lot of fun. So if you're into those kind of games, you're into, like, the next level of board games above your Monopolies and stuff like that, and you want to like nerd out, I would definitely recommend that game in particular because I've been having lots of fun with that.
What's it called again?
It's called Mansions of Madness.
Mansions of Madness.
Yeah, there's two editions out now, so you can combine them, which we've been doing. You can parts from the first, parts from the second. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So I've been playing a lot of board games this week, and that's one that's been standing out to me. So had a lot of fun with that one.
Sweet. All right. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for listening. Final reminder is everyone do the eye test out there. Make sure you're watching your games, watch your players, see what they're doing.
Yes, exactly.
That'll help you in the pools. All right, we will talk to you guys later.